The Splendor of You. Here is your host, Debbie Sansone Schlaprisi.
Hi, I'm Debbie Schlaprisi. Welcome to The Splendor of You. This morning we have a wonderful guest. Here's how it all happened. I had a conversation with this young lady a short time ago, what I thought was going to be a very brief conversation. And basically, in closing, she mentioned to me, oh, there are so many things that I want to share with you that I've learned. And I said, well, will you just share one? Because I was in a hurry and I had to get where I was going. And I know her time is valuable. And with that, my friends, I have to tell you, she launched into one of the most marvelous conversations that I found myself on the edge of my seat wanting to hear more and more. And what I thought was going to be a brief conversation continued on. And the only disappointment is that it wasn't even longer. I ask you right now, prepare yourselves to be on the edge of your seat. You know, in Scripture, our Lord says, behold, I make all things new. Mm-hmm. And after I heard this young woman and after I had an opportunity to speak with her, I really felt like there was newness in my faith. I'm praying for that for you as well. It's pretty powerful. So prepare truly to get caught up in the love of our Savior and our faith, the whole idea of truth, beauty, and goodness, with our guest today, who is Claire Holman. So Claire, welcome. Hi, sweetheart. I'm so glad she's here.
Thank you for having me.
Really, it's wonderful. And this was just a few days ago, and I said, Claire, what do you think? Will you be a guest? And she was like, well, do you think I'd have something to offer? And I'm like, yeah, honey. Claire, at that time, maybe you could just let our guests know a little bit about you. I mean, you're a young person. Could you tell us a little bit about your work? And
yes, of course. I'd be happy to.
Good.
My name is Claire Holman. I'm 23 years old. I was born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri, to some wonderful parents.
Awesome people.
They're the best. Mm-hmm. I went to college at Texas Christian University and was very involved in my Newman Center and had a great desire for all people to know Jesus and his love for us. Would invite people constantly to the Newman Center and just really wanted people to understand how loved we are and wanted them to have the joy and the meaning in life that the Lord had given me. And after college, continued that and decided to go do some missionary work. And I'm spending my time right now working with students to know and love Jesus and spread his name across the world.
That's awesome, Claire. Friends, I have to tell you, she's also engaged and
yes,
about to be married in what? Not even 2 months, right?
A little bit less than 50 days.
Oh,
it's
God
right around
you.
The corner.
God
we're so excited.
I'm blessed, and I should have explained that. My husband and I are dear friends of our parents, and those of us that are parents and those of you that are maybe in the midst of raising children, the influence and power that we have over our children to be able to share the faith with them is really reflected when I see Claire. Claire, maybe you can tell us, growing up, how did that work for you as far as the way your parents did share the faith with you? Because you're obviously alive with the faith.
Oh, definitely. I think that a lot of it went as they didn't just talk about the faith, but they lived the faith.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just something that was like said that this is a good thing, but it's a thing that was lived out.
And when you say that, honey, how'd you see it lived out?
My parents took me to daily mass and then talked about faith in small conversations. Jesus was always the center of conversations of family life.
Awesome.
Dad would take us to confession frequently.
Mm-hmm.
We would pray the rosary as a family.
Mm-hmm.
Dad would always talk about the theology books he was reading. I'd overhear conversations about work and all of the different books and shows that were going to be played, and just like the topics, I was just kind of immersed in conversations
That's
about
awesome.
Jesus all the time. And I think it just made it normal. It's not like there was no separation of life. It wasn't like this is life and then now we go and pray. It was kind of everything was put together.
Integrated.
Yeah, integration was throughout my whole childhood. And I just remember going and praying at church. My first prayers were for siblings. Like after mass, I'd go up and pray for them. I'd pray for just little silly things. And then over time that like developed into a stronger prayer life once I started having more silence in my day.
You just mentioned about silence, although I do have one quick question. Was there ever a time that you didn't feel like praying the rosary as if it, you.
Oh, yeah. If,
I know. I think that's important because I know when I was raising my kids and when they were, it was just like, first of all, it felt when we would pray the rosary, it was an absolute disaster. But a Carmelite sister had said to me, God bless her soul, Sister Mary Rose had said to me, Debbie, God doesn't ask for a perfect rosary. He asked for you to try. She said to me, because I said, Sister, this is a sin. By the time I was finished, I would be mad at my husband or a little disgusted, like, Don, you're going to help me out here? I mean, the kids were. But I was curious in your life. So there were those periods where it was like, no, I don't feel like doing this. But
well, when I was a kid growing up, when we would go on road trips, Dad would lead us in all four rosaries back to back. So it was really a training period. And it would be like, oh, not another rosary.
Okay.
But I know that the graces of those rosaries have 100% carried me to where I am today.
That's
and
awesome.
Actually, I think the rosary is one of the most powerful prayers. About my junior year of college, my now fiancé and I made a commitment to pray the rosary every day until we die. And at that point, I like still did not like praying the rosary. I felt like I knew it was good and I would love to do it with my family, but it was just felt like I was always distracted during it and couldn't really pay attention or give a full prayer. Like you said, it's like I wanted to give God that perfect rosary, but I just knew it was important and I wanted to make that commitment to pray it every day, but forever seemed impossible. But I was like, I can make a commitment to pray the rosary every day for a week. And at the end of the week, I could make the commitment again to do it for a week. And so reasoning through it like that, there was nothing stopping me from committing for my life. And there's definitely been days where we've missed it, but the number of rosaries we've prayed since that commitment has skyrocketed. And I think because of that commitment is how my faith moved from my head down to my heart a lot more. And
clear.
I can really look at the period when I started praying the rosary every day until now and see how much grace, like torrents of grace, poured into my relationship with God. So the rosary is super key. And I think that if it wasn't so normal from childhood, I don't know if I would have even thought to make that commitment. So it, it paid off so much fruit in the long run, even if my childhood rosaries were very distracted and
I
begrudgingly
get it. You know, the Carmelite sister, Sister Mary Rose, had said to me that when she was young, she would complain or this and that. And she said, as then as a grown woman, she said those were some of her fondest memories looking back that gave her so much, I guess, just a sense of confidence and awareness that God was with her when she would look back and think about the many rosaries that she and her family prayed. And it brought her great joy. So, friends, those of you who are giving it your best shot, keep going. I was encouraged when I was a young mom by a much older woman, and she had talked about some of her children leaving the faith. And she said, I talked to my husband, and she said, it was like, you know, and she has a son who's a priest. And she said, it was like, when, and he said, she shared with me, she said that her husband said to her, we could have been committed to the rosary and we were not. And so that was something then as a young mom that I was blessed to hear. And for those of us who maybe didn't get those messages when we were young and raising kids, or we weren't raised in it, there's still, you know, remember how we began this show, and it's with the scripture, behold, I make all things new. You know, that's in Revelation. So Jesus promises us that right now we can go for it. We can begin today. He makes all things new. And whatever we feel that we may have messed up with our children or our grandchildren, our nieces or nephews, or those of us who don't have children and wonder, where was I? How much did I mess up with my own life? How much did I miss? Don't even go there. Behold, I make all things new. This is the moment. This is the newness. Right now, those graces are ready for us. Claire, you mentioned a moment ago about silence or quiet in prayer. Could you talk to us just a little bit about that?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
I've heard from people much holier than I that silence is God's first language. And sometimes it's really hard to speak that language, but it is the most important thing that we can have in our day is this time to slow down and just give ourselves to God and just open up a space for Him to work. It is actually amazing how little silence we have in our days and how we're able to preoccupy ourselves externally and internally with noise. And it's even true that when we are in our holy hours, if we're sitting there filling our prayer with internal noise, like reading stuff the whole time or praying vocal prayers the whole time, that even though they're beautiful prayers, we may not be able to slow down enough to hear Jesus speak to us. Mm. And the power of Jesus speaking into your heart and whispering how much he loves you and that he has plans for you is the most important thing that we could ever do in our day.
You know, Claire, you said something to me earlier before we were on air. I was mentioning to Claire that my spiritual director has encouraged me to have quiet in my prayer. And it was so funny because I said to him, well, you know what? I mean, I've got a lot to pray for. I mean, I got a list here. And he said, Debbie, you can get that finished in a few minutes unless you're spending the rest of your prayer time thinking about what you've just been praying for, how I'm going to solve it. So I've been trying to, you know, step into that silence. And Claire, you mentioned something so beautiful to me because I was telling Claire, you know, she said, how's your morning going? And I go, well, actually, I went to early morning mass and then I had adoration. I was trying to do this quiet. And I said, I don't think I did it very good. And I said, and I know that's not from God, thinking about, did I do it right? Did I not? Because then I'm back on self. But Claire, you said to me something so beautiful. And I think, help me with it. You said, prayer is that we step into. Will you tell me about that?
Well, prayer is God's gift to us, not That's our right. gift to yes. him. And he so badly wants to shower you with his love. So prayer isn't about giving God things. It's all just receiving and putting ourselves in a disposition to receive all that he has to give us. Jesus wants to give you every grace in the heavens. He wants to give you his infinite love. But if we don't have arms open to receive that in this disposition of receiving, then he won't force it on us. Mm-hmm. But if we can shift our mind in prayer from trying to give God things and to impress him mm-hmm. with our beautifully written prayers and, impress
him with
the
silence.
Things we can solve and being mm-hmm. perfect in prayer, it won't work because then we're trying to give him things when he just wants to give us everything.
Mm-hmm. Claire, what do you think about the point where people will say, and I say as well, I don't always hear it. I don't hear something. It's not like I'm hearing anything. I'm quiet, and it's like, Lord, well, I'm waiting for your voice. I don't hear a voice. I don't hear. What's your thought about that?
Story of my life.
Okay.
So my faith journey has been a very, very simple and quiet one. I am surrounded by some incredibly wonderful people who have had these dramatic God moments where they hear him speak in their thunderbolts and lightning and mm-hmm. they see him and all these wonderful things. And although that's beautiful, the Lord has helped me to love my story as well. And he's kind of shown me that I am a little mm-hmm. rock in the river of his mercy that he mm-hmm. slowly forms. And you don't see changes in a rock in the river day to day. It looks the exact same. But year by year, you see how the water has shaped the rock and smoothed out its bumpy edges. And so the Lord's slowly smoothing my vices away, and I can see it in how I am able to be more patient or loving with family, or even though I still have a long way to go, or mm-hmm. I can be more generous with the things I have or trust God more. And it's not like these big moments of things that happen, but the slow, consistent mercy of God that flows over me,
That's
especially
awesome.
When I enter into silence. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I don't hear him like audibly. I don't really have big moments, but I trust deeply that he's there and that he's working and that I'm just a little rock in the river slowly mm-hmm. being formed. And I think many people that were cradle Catholics actually have a faith journey similar to that, is that it's just quiet, simple, but he's there. He's so consistent. And he just wants to love you so much. And something that helped me come to this realization is St. Therese of Lisieux talks about how she so badly wanted to be like Mary Magdalene and have this big moment. But she ended up falling in love with the relationship that she had with Jesus, and that he didn't have to do anything big to win her over. Mm. She was going to love him just with the little things. And so she was grateful to be able to love him in that way. And so just to find beauty in the relationship that I have with him. And there's so much obvious beauty in Mary Magdalene's story as well. Mm-hmm. If that is your story, it is so beautiful. And the Lord delights in every different story that he writes. But if you have a simple story, trust that the Lord loves you still.
I love when you talk about loving your story. Mm. I've never thought about that, but there's something about it that really touches my heart and seems that it's just so in line with knowing that we are valued and loved by God. Mm. When you talk about our stories, can you help me with that a little bit? You were explaining about your own faith and your story is different than another. Mm. Just talk just a little bit more about that, will you?
Well, I guess you could say your story is so many different things, but I think the most important thing that it is the epic story of love that God has written into your life, your personal mm-hmm. salvation history. Mm-hmm. And it didn't just begin with your birth. It began with Adam and Eve and when he made the first covenant and continued with Abraham and Moses and so on. And the Lord's plan for your personal salvation began all the way back then. And he mm-hmm. thought of you before the world even existed. Mm-hmm. But if we fast forward to the point when you're alive, mm-hmm. there's an intentional plan that the Lord has placed for you to become the woman or man that he made you to be. Mm-hmm. And if you step back and reflect on the ways that God has pursued and chased you throughout your life, mm-hmm. if you especially look at the seasons where maybe things were hard and see what he was doing there, to see that God has an intentional plan for your salvation. Mm-hmm. in your story, and he works differently with everyone. Some people he has these big moments with, some people he just speaks softly to over time, mm-hmm. and when they're ready, he runs with them. Some people he relates to them more like a father. Some people he relates to you more like the beloved, the spouse, or brother, whatever way that.
Claire, thank you for what you're saying. It seems like the message here is just to really realize that we are truly loved.
Yes.
That I am priceless and special to him, each and every one of us,
yes.
our listeners, all of us. That's awesome. Thank you so much. I have to ask you, how do we enter into silence? So let's say we're going and we have prayer time. How do we begin to enter into that, Claire? Do you have any thoughts about that?
Something that really helped me was St. Francis de Sales' Introduction to Devout Life has a discussion yeah. of how to really enter into prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing he says you have to start every prayer with is acknowledging God's presence right mm-hmm. where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like a really simple step that is like, well, of course you would do that. But it's actually crazy that if I'm not really intentional with it, I can just kind of glaze over it and take it for granted. But to be very aware that God is present before you. If you are in the church and you're in the mm-hmm. presence of the Most Holy Eucharist, mm-hmm. to just start your prayer acknowledging that that is the body, blood, soul, and divinity mm-hmm. of Jesus right in front of you, mm-hmm. and to be in awe of that fact, mm-hmm. and to try to open your heart to the realization, begging God for the faith to really understand that. If you're at home in the silence and you're in like a quiet little prayer place, you make yourself aware that the Trinity is dwelling within your soul,
mm-hmm.
and quiet yourself down to be able to realize the presence of God dwelling in the garden of your heart, and to just know with certainty that he's there by the grace in your soul that he's there.
That's wonderful, Claire. My gosh, friends, I got to tell you, can't wait to listen to this show again. I mean, she's giving us such wonderful truths. You had also said to me, and I think our listeners would like this, it sure touched my heart, when you talked about, before we went on air, looking in the eyes of Jesus.
Yes.
Will you talk about that?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So once you're in church and you are at your home and you've acknowledged the presence of God, it's really good to like offer him praise and gratitude and just to fall in love with him. So whatever the types of things you would say to the person you're in love with in the human world, to say to God, or also to just stare mm-hmm. into his eyes. There is scientific evidence that if you stare into someone's eyes for 4 minutes, that feelings of love will be released chemically throughout your body.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are able to stare into the eyes of Jesus in an image or on the cross or even mm-hmm. just into the Eucharist, imagining Jesus's face looking back mm-hmm. at you, it will help you to fall in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal of every prayer is to come out loving God more. But we can't love God more if we don't realize he loves us more.
Mm-hmm.
So to stare at the cross is such a powerful thing because it's realizing that God, the creator of the entire universe, who's infinite, mm-hmm. cares personally about you. And it's not like he just made us and then left us. He drew close to man. He didn't just stay in heaven and wait for us to come to him. He came to us and completely gave of himself to show us how much he loved us individually. And Jesus didn't just die on the cross for the whole world. He died specifically for you.
Individually.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he died for Debbie. He died for Claire. He died mm-hmm. for every individual person.
Yes.
So just to gaze into his eyes and to let him love you so that you can love him in return.
Claire, thank you. Didn't I tell you, friends, this young lady, I could listen to you, honey, for about 12 hours straight. God bless you. Friends, thanks so much for tuning in. And if you're like me, because there are so many nuggets in this show through Claire. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that I want to be able to re-listen. If you'd like to hear the show, feel free. Please go to www.splendorview.com. That's www.splendorview.com. And we'll be happy through Catholic Radio to share the show with you once again. God bless you. Remember, your splendor is within. Thanks for tuning in. And once again, thank you, Claire. God bless.
This has been The Splendor of You with Debbie Sansone-Schlaprezy.